So our reading is taken from Jonah chapter 2. Thank you.
Which, for those of you who don't know where Jonah is and can't find the index, that one, thank you, is on page 654 in the Black Pew Bibles, and it's now up on the screen. This is Jonah's prayer to the Lord after, if you know the story, he's been chucked overboard because of the storm, because he was running away. And the Lord has prepared for him a big fish, and he's in the depth of the fish as well. He said, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I cried for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord."
Thank you. I always believe that whenever God's word is read in public, that God will bless it. And I pray that God will do that this morning. Now, so you know it's going to be about Jonah. And I have prepared, well, I say I have prepared, I haven't. My wife has prepared a mini quiz, for which there, as a reward, there are fingers of fudge. Because I always think it's worth rewarding people. Okay, so this one is a double fudge. And no looking in the Bible if you can help it, all right? Who was Jonah's father? That's why it's a double fudge. No? Okay, we'll leave that one then. Okay, where was the ship going to that he got onto? Yeah, yes, it was, yes. Can I throw it to you? Is that all right? Oh, sorry, where was it headed? Where was it going from? Okay, that's good. Well done. Are you a teacher? No, it's just you were very sensible, you see. No, that's good. Where was he called to go? Yes, Nineveh, correct. How many days did it take to walk through the city of Nineveh? I'll give you a clue. It crops up several times in various things throughout the Bible. It's not three, correct. So there you go. There's your second fudge there. Okay. What did the sailors do to find out who had caused the storm? Who said through dice? I know you did it as well, but yours is here too. All right. What was he swallowed by? Oh, no. A big fish, correct. So whale was close enough there. Who said whale was it? Yeah. Brilliant. So what did Nineveh do? We know that they repented, but what did they declare they were going to do? Not fast. Was it fast? It does. No, it's your writing. And what did he sit under when he looked over the city? Yes. Actually, you should have two, because like that's not the vine that everybody says. Oh, it's a vine. That's really good. And what was Jonah's reaction when the worm ate the plant? He was upset. There you go. Now you can choose whether you share any of these with everybody else. And if you're feeling a bit left out, I do have another pack here. Because you can never be too rich, too thin, or have too many packs of Cadbury's fudge. Okay. The word that I am starting with today is appropriate. Now, I wonder what springs to mind when you hear the word appropriate. The dictionary defines it as suitable or proper in the circumstances. Now, it may or may not surprise you, but when I was younger than I am now, I was a Youth for Christ worker. And I would very often do things that were not considered appropriate. One of the things I used to love doing was to eat a raw egg in an assembly, particularly in junior school. Now, the link is seeing is believing. You can go home and say to mum and dad or whoever looks after you, a bloke come into our assembly today and ate a raw egg. And your parents might say, we don't believe you. And you can say, I believe it because I've seen it. And I would link that with the story of Thomas saying he wouldn't believe that Jesus had come back to life unless he saw him. But the amazing thing was 200 children in the school hall would be as high as kites to watch me eating a raw egg. Some would say appropriate, some would say not appropriate. Being brought up in a church where it was a sin if your car was seen in the local cinema car park, girls in the youth group would say, oh, let's go to the cinema and see something. So I'd say, okay then. And they'd say, oh, can you phone me at home just to confirm the arrangement? So I'd dutifully phone. And I was happy to do that for a long time till I heard one of the girls saying to her mum, oh, Martin's on the phone. He wants to know if I can go to the cinema with him to see a film. And I heard her mum say, that Martin, he's a bad influence on you. Not appropriate, I guess. I don't know. In actual fact, when I used to go around and promote Youth for Christ in various churches, there would generally be a hum. Is he going to do something inappropriate? Is he going to do something not suitable for a church service? In actual fact, I'd be quite disappointed if there wasn't a little hum when I stood up. There hasn't been one today. There might be next time I come. Who knows? Today, it's about an appropriate prayer. The word appropriate can be taken in two ways. Something fit, suitable, and proper in the circumstances, which is great in the right place, but sometimes that can be constraining. Sometimes we can have the mentality of appropriate praying. We then begin to think too much about our prayers. Are they going to be deemed appropriate, fitting, correct? Sometimes in our worship, if I raise my hand, is that appropriate? Once you can step out of that mentality and step into, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, you'll find that whatever you do is appropriate because the Holy Spirit is leading you to do that. Sometimes, here's a shock, Jesus was considered inappropriate. Whether it was healing somebody in the wrong place, the wrong time, whether it was crunching some corn to eat because he was hungry, working on the Sabbath. Sometimes he was considered inappropriate. And particularly the Pharisees, of course, that was their job, wasn't it? Let's find Jesus inappropriate today. What can we decide? But I wanted to take us a couple of moments just to remind ourselves what we know about Jonah. We've had the mini quiz there. We know that he had a relationship with God as much as prophets in the Old Testament had relationships with God. If you've done the Alpha course or if you've studied the Word of God, you will know that before the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would pick on individuals to do an individual task that God was calling them to do. So we know that Jonah had a relationship with God because it says in Jonah, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So God actually spoke to Jonah. So we know that he had a relationship with him. We know he disobeyed God. How do we know that? Well, he ran away. There were consequences to his disobedience. The crew knew that something was wrong and they asked Jonah. They asked him to pray and he said no. Then they drew lots and it was revealed that it was him. So they threw him overboard. They knew, if you read the story, they knew that there would be consequences or there might be consequences. So they asked for protection about what they were going to do. God spoke to Jonah again, and this time he did what God asked him to do. God was gracious. Jonah moaned at God, "I wish I was dead." I hope you don't mind, there are some spoilers there if you don't actually know the story of Jonah. But right in the middle of Jonah's story comes this prayer, and it is what I would call an appropriate prayer. He didn't have time to think about it, to phrase it, to sort of think, oh, is God going to be annoyed with me? Is he going to be angry with me? He just prayed because God had provided an appropriate fish to swallow Jonah up. I remember more than one occasion getting into an argument with people about whether it was a whale or whether it was a fish, whether a human being could survive for 3 days in the stomach of a fish or whether it couldn't. And actually, someone somewhere has had the time to do a little study, and a human being can survive for 3 days in the stomach of a big fish. So there we go. So we know that actually, whether or not you might say, Jonah, it's just a story, or whether it's actually truth, but the thing is that a human could survive for 3 days in a fish's stomach. They would have been rather smelly. They would have been bleached very, very white because of the stomach acid. I don't really want to go too much into it, but it could have happened. So if anybody says, it couldn't happen, yes, it could. So we know that because that's a scientific fact. We know that even with all this going on, with Jonah being thrown overboard, the sea closing in on him, the seaweed wrapping itself around him, hitting the bottom of the ocean, God still provided a way out. While in the boat, Jonah refused to pray. His location changed, and surprise, surprise, he prayed. I'm not saying it was comfortable in the boat because it was in the middle of a storm, but while he was in relatively dry situation, he didn't pray. But then when he reached rock bottom, he actually did pray. It was when, in verse 2, it was when Jonah was rock bottom that he called on God. And God was gracious and heard him. I think if ever we need a lesson about how good God is, if we look at this story, somebody who blatantly disobeyed him, ran as far away as he thought he could get. When he turned around to God, God was gracious and heard him. He called and God listened. But for me, one of the important things is God didn't just hear, but he listened. I think it's quite significant. I don't know about you, but I can hear things all the time. But whether I actually listen is another matter. Those of us who are married or have been married will know that it's far more important to listen than it is to hear. Have you heard me? Yes, I've heard you. The noise going on in the background. No, I know. We know. We actually have a big whiteboard in our kitchen now where we write important things on there so that I actually know what it is that's important. In teaching situations, you must find this in school. You can teach to a group of children. They will hear you, but are they listening and understanding? We can certainly hear something and not do anything as a result. We can hear something and not be motivated to do something about it. But when we listen, it goes in, is processed by our brains, and usually leads to some kind of action or reaction. And that's the difference between hearing and listening. If you listen, it usually leads you to do something, to change something, but it does involve listening, not just hearing. I've got a sneaking suspicion that Jonah thought he could get away with it. When God's word came to Jonah, he thought, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go and get on the first boat that there is. I've got to get as far away from here. And I don't know at what point he would have thought, I can't get away with this anymore. Was it the storm? Was it the sailors grabbing hold of him? You know, at what point? And then when they threw him into the sea, did he think, oh, do you know, I'm an Olympic swimmer, I can do this. When he began to sink and all the seaweed and everything else sucked him down. I think if ever we were in any doubt about how powerful the sea can be, we only need to hear some of the things that's been on the news just recently in this area. I have a friend, Angela, who goes to Langston Church, and there is out down by the Eastney Beach, there is a pontoon that goes out, and young people love to go and hang out on there, and that's great. But on this particular occasion, two of them actually jumped into the water and were sucked out by the riptide. And she's had some training, so her and the person that she was with, they were able to dive in and to go and get them because they knew what to do to come against the riptide. So for Jonah to go in the sea in a storm and to be sucked down is perfectly feasible, and it would have happened really quickly. So something changed within him. It might have been fear. I know I would have been. I know when I was a child out at Hailing Island, there used to be a wrecked car out there. And you could go out and play on the wrecked car. But the tide comes in, and it comes in round and sweeps round into the harbour. And if my mum and two people hadn't come out and walked me back, I'd have been sucked away by the tide. At the time, I thought it was great. Look, Mum, I can just hold your hand and float around on the sea, because I didn't have enough strength to stand up. The sea can be very unforgiving, but God is forgiving. So Jonah might have thought he could get away with it, but the implication was that he was prepared to die rather than to do what God had called him to do. And that can be quite a scary concept, really. Perhaps he was even thinking that he was beyond redemption, beyond saving. It's kind of like if he needed evidence that he'd messed up, it was there, wasn't it? On a boat in the middle of a storm. Then the sailors threw him overboard. But once he was in the belly of the fish, I like to think he had a light bulb moment. I don't know what you would call it. Bing! Ah! So I'm here because I disobeyed God. So what do I do? And then we know that he prayed. God listened to Jonah and he acted upon that prayer and saved him. When we pray to God, no matter what the circumstances, it might be a desperate prayer like Jonah's was, but we can be confident that God not only hears, but he listens to our prayers and then he acts. And it's a whole different study, a whole different thing to think about God's timing on answering our prayers. Some of us might have been praying for family members, for health issues, for situations to change for ages. Our confidence needs to be that God has listened and heard rather than why he hasn't done anything. Because God's timing is perfect. We see here, though, that God's answer comes really quickly. The fish vomits. That's great, isn't it? When you're telling that to kids, they love that, don't they? God sicked him up onto the beach. You think, wow. But the answer was really quickly. And those of us who have been Christians for a while know that that doesn't always happen. We have a family member that we're asking God that she can be everything that she can be and everything that he wants her to be. And we trust God that God is going to bring that about. You may have family members who don't know Jesus. You may have family members who are in trouble. You may have family members who really need a touch from God, and you've been praying for them for years. You have to trust God that he hears, he listens, and he will act, but it's in his time. It's great that there are passages in the New Testament where Jesus taught about prayer, and he encourages us to be persistent in bringing our requests to God. And I would even say, and you can tell me off about this afterwards, and that's fine, that there is no such thing as an inappropriate prayer for God. God will take any prayer that you pray to him. God will listen to any prayer that you bring. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows what his will is for you. So there's nothing really that you can pray. We're quite confident, aren't we, to say there's nothing you can do that means God won't forgive you. There's nothing that you can do that will drive you out of the kingdom of God. There's nothing you can pray that God won't listen to. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 6 taught us how to pray with the Lord's Prayer. There was a parable of the persistent widow who kept on and on asking until she got what she wanted. There's a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector if we want to know how and what God looks for people in their prayers. And in verse 7 of the passage that we had, it says, "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple." Jonah here remembers God, although it's kind of like, it's the first thing you think of, isn't it? Well, it's the first thing I would think of, swallowed up by a giant fish, you know. God, where are you? What have I done? I bet Jonah knew what he'd done. But he had reached as low as he could possibly go. But he had confidence that his prayer was coming before God. So do you know, wherever you're at in your journey today, you can be confident that your prayers are going to God because of what Jesus did. How often do we find ourselves in what could be called a Jonah situation before we pray? That situation could have come through something that we have done or something we have not done. Or it may just have happened. Sometimes we find circumstances are that things just happen around us. It may even have been caused by someone else's actions. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, when somebody's done something that has caused you pain, caused you to be hurt emotionally, physically, mentally. If this has happened to you, and I think this is particularly from God, if you've had a situation where somebody's done something to you or circumstances have happened to you, the important thing is not to embrace the situation, especially if you've not disobeyed God. If something's happened and it's totally not your fault, if you're totally blameless, or even if you're 98% blameless, whatever, if you're blameless, don't embrace the situation and said it must be, don't ever utter the words, "It must be my fault. God's made this happen to me," because that is not true. I feel that might apply to somebody. So please do not embrace the situation, especially if you haven't disobeyed God. But one of the biggest barriers to God working in our lives is us not being honest with him, being honest with ourselves. So God would really like us to be honest. Jonah was totally honest in his prayer, and that's how God wants us to be. And what we do know is if the circumstances is through our own disobedience, then Romans tells us, this is such good news. If we confess with our lips our sin, Jesus is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. How amazing is it if we confess our sins that God will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? That's absolutely brilliant. So having got that all off his chest, telling God what he already knew, We should never pray using the excuse that God already knows, or we should never not pray. In verse 9, Jonah thanks God. He promises a sacrifice and emphasizes that salvation comes from the Lord. So we really should never forget to say thank you to God for answering our prayers, for getting us out of a situation, even one of our own making. But thanksgiving is very important. So what lessons can we draw from Jonah's prayer? Well, the first one is that when he was at his lowest and furthest from God, he was delivered from his situation. So even today, if you're feeling really low, if you're feeling really far away from God, God will deliver you from the situation you're in. When he called out to God, he was heard and listened to. Although Jonah had deserted God, God had not disowned him. Jonah was delivered from the depths. Jonah was helpless and needed God to move. Sometimes we can feel helpless and we need God to move. And there's no weakness in us admitting that we are weak, that we are helpless, and that we need God to move. We just need to ask for his help. So today, I think, as we're going to be sharing communion together in a few moments, if you're feeling rock bottom, if you're feeling as low as you can possibly get, if circumstances are overwhelming you, if you've disobeyed God and not done what he wanted you to do, if you've run away from his calling on your life, don't wait until you get swallowed by a big fish. If you've been badly treated by others and ended up in Jonah's situation, remember, no one is beyond God's help. No one is beyond God's redemption or God's restoration. All we have to do is to be honest with God, to call out to him, and he will hear. He will listen and he will act. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the story of Jonah. It's a brilliant story. It's bloodthirsty almost. It's gory. It's got lots of action in it. But above all, Lord, it's the story of redemption, the story of restoration, and the story of what can happen when people obey your calling, when people obey your call on their lives. And I pray, Father, that each of us, we each have a call to follow you, to be a disciple, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And if we put that into action, we are being Jesus to people, and we thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for Jonah's example, Lord, and thank you for the hope that gives to each of us. Amen.